Hold on tight. I'm not exactly sure what's going to happen.
Open your mind real wide now.
I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Welcome aboard the Mothership Radio Show. My name is Kevin Gassman, your host, and tonight, or daytime, I guess, depending on when you're listening to this, we have a great conversation with Hall of Fame drummer Jim McCarty of the Yardbirds. Now, he has been on the show before, and we talked about his interest in the strange and unusual. However, this time, it's under different circumstances. He wrote a new book called She Walks in Beauty, My Quest for the Bigger Picture. He co-wrote it with Dave Thompson. It's about his wife who passed away last year, and how he is trying to contact her in the afterlife. So we're going to get strange and unusual with Jim McCarty right here on the Mothership Radio Show.
Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
What if I told you I'd take you to a place you've never been and do something to you that's never been done?
I've spoken to you before, I think.
We did.
I remember your show.
Yeah, we talked about the strange and unusual is kind of the subtitle of my show, the Mothership Radio Show, and we chatted a little bit about your life experiences with the paranormal, and I know now you have a new book out, She Walks in Beauty, which is written on your wife who passed away last year. So my condolences.
Yeah, that sort of kicked it off, and so I really wanted to look into communicating with my wife, you know. So I did see a few mediums, and then I decided to take up a mediumship course on Zoom. With a woman called Suzanne Giesman, who's a very good medium and teacher. And it's very strange because she was an officer in the US Navy at one time. And she was very high up and in the Navy. And she lost her stepdaughter in Iraq. She was actually struck by lightning. And from that time, she decided she was going to be a medium. And so she studied at a college in England called the Arthur Findlay College. And then she takes courses in teaching people. So I in the lockdown and everything, I was interested in pursuing that. So I've done quite well, actually. My wife and I communicate pretty well.
That's great. How do you know, and what signs do you get when you are communicating with her?
Well, the thing is, Suzanne, when she teaches, she calls herself an evidential medium, where she says, oh, she must have solid evidence. You know, she can't just presume she's talking to somebody. She needs something. So she says, "Oh, you need to ask for something about somebody that you don't know." So this happens all the time. I say, "Well, you know, tell me something I'm going to see today, or tell me something about someone I don't know." And this is usually happened. What she said has happened. And funnily enough, very strange evidence, a few months ago, I think it was almost like March or something, March or April, she told me about Charlie Watts. And, you know, she could, because I remember Hilton Valentine passed over from the Animals. And I was tuning into her, and she said, Charlie Watts, and she wasn't into sort of rock people, and so it was very strange. And I thought, I'm imagining this, you know.
That's
she didn't really say that.
What did she say about Charlie Watts? She just mentioned his name, and
no, she just said the name. I was something like, "Oh, watch out for Charlie Watts," or something like that.
Wow. And then it just
and
happened.
I didn't think any more of it. Yeah, I put it in the back of my mind, and then it just happened like a week. You know, I thought, oh no, she told me that.
Oh man,
funny.
What was your relationship with Charlie Watts?
I didn't know him very well. We worked with the Stones a few times. We did a tour in England with the Stones back in the 60s, and I'd met him in their studios and things, and he was always very nice. And I wasn't particularly close, but we always had a chat when we met, and he was very down to earth, very nice guy.
Right.
But my wife wasn't a real sort of rock and roller, you know. She was into other things rather than rock music.
That probably made a better relationship for you, right? In a sense. So.
And so yeah. You know, I put all these things down in the book. There was another story about she used to. Well, we used to go for walks because we live in a very nice part of France. And we used to go to walks in a little village about 10 miles away, which is right up in the hills. And she really loved it there. And we used to go to a little cafe right on the top of the village, just to get a coffee or a sandwich or whatever. And after she died, I went in there. I just went in there for lunch, I think, and it had been taken over by somebody else. And the woman that did own it was actually in there, and she was quite friendly with Elizabeth. And she said, she was French. And she said, a couple of weeks ago, she said, I saw you in Elizabeth and you were walking. She was very happy, Elizabeth, but you were in tears, and she couldn't understand it. And she thought, "Oh, that's very odd. You know, it's not normally in tears." And when she went back into work, they told her that Elizabeth had died. You know, and so wow, it's quite a story.
So I mean, it's. It sounds like there was some good energy with her, and it sounds like you guys really kind of just were open to this. Maybe you were, I don't know, at the time. Now that you're looking back and looking at maybe some of the coincidences that you see where you, you're communicating with her now, was there any kind of, while you were married, as far as, any kind of paranormal connections at all with your wife at that time? Were you interested in that kind of...
Yeah, we were always interested in channeling, sort of getting what channeling is. You know, you're getting information from like a guide or something from another sphere.
Right.
But we never went into mediumship stuff. We never we never looked into people that had passed over or anything like that. We were always channeling for the best way to solve a problem or to progress, and we used to do that all the time. And then when she knew she was going to die, we were talking about how can we communicate, because some people I've heard from Suzanne the medium, she said sometimes you can have a code word, but we never had a we never got to that. We just thought, we don't know, but we've done quite well.
That's...
We were close in that aspect,
right? I mean, having that conversation prior to her passing, yes, it's like you're like a set it up, in a sense. I mean, I lost my dad a couple of years ago. And, I kind of made, like on his deathbed, in a sense, I was talking, I was like, just think about it. You can come back and, haunt me if you want, to kind of put that in his head, he laughed a little bit. And, we don't know what's going to go on when we're gone. It's such a mystery, obviously, to all of us. But, has this changed your outlook as far as at the afterlife?
Oh, totally. Totally, because I never really, I did study Buddhism for a little while. We were both students of a Tibetan Lama. And so we went into sort of studying the Bardo, which is, you know, a state you go into after dying. But that didn't seem to make any sense to what actually happened. The first thing I did, I was tuning into people that had near-death experiences. So I tuned into more and more YouTube, and then I got hold of a guy called Eben Alexander, who was a neurosurgeon, and he'd had his own near-death experience. He had a nasty illness that affected his brain, and it sort of more or less wiped out his brain, you know, when he passed over temporarily. And so he, being a neurosurgeon, he said, well, my brain was dead, but I was still conscious of what was going on, and I was in some, you know, beautiful place, and I met people that I sort of knew. He was saying that the consciousness carries on. Even though the brain dies and the body dies, the consciousness does carry on. And so that was very interesting for me. That made a huge change to think, oh, that consciousness carries on, you know, with everybody.
That's kind of, you know, in like I said, my father passed away in early of 2020, and my aunt passed away a couple of years prior to that. And, you know, I've been talking about, you know, after life type of stuff. And, you know, you talk about, you know, the aliens and the spirituals, the interdimensions and all that above, you know, for me, my perspective was, you know, she passed on, my aunt did, you know, they just passed on, they moved on to another realm in a sense. It's kind of how I look at it too, is because, you know, we're, you know, here in this physical world, here we are, mind in our, you know, in our head, our brain in our head. Where does it go? It's got to go interdimensional. I mean, I don't know. I'm just guessing, but just thinking about where else are we going to go? It's got to be in our mind somewhere. And
it seems like everybody does still exist, you know? And it's also not in such a bad place, because most of these near-death experiences, the people don't really want to come back because it's so nice.
Right. And I've heard many stories that are very similar. I mean, that's how you have to kind of judge this being kind of legit, is going, hey, wait, this person over here in India has the same experiences as this person in Australia, as this person does in, you know, in Japan.
And yeah. Oh, yes. There's some amazing coincidences, you know, things that happen.
Right.
Synchronicity. Yeah.
Did you... It you know, because following the spiritual kind of you know, the paths, and you know, and I with you recognizing in your career, your long career of music, do you look back and look at any kind of coincidences that might have helped you along the way as kind of a tie in to this kind of spiritual world you're in now? Do you look back and say, wow, that was really?
Yes. Well, I've written all about it in the book. I've gone back to when I was on the road and everything, and what Keith Ralph, the singer, and I used to talk about, and what we, you know, all the stuff we were interested in, and all the old books we were interested in, and even writing the song, you know, Happenings 10 Years Time Ago, that was basically about, you know, reincarnation, and other songs, and so I've tried to tie it in. But I've had some interesting experiences. But you know, I've seen, not really seen a ghost, but I've seen something appeared to me one night, which was a bit odd. But it was actually quite a pleasant experience. It wasn't a horrible one, but I was a bit freaked out. You know, it was a bit odd.
Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Well, yes, I was reading, I think I was, it was in the 70s, and I was reading a book about the other side, you know, and about people, like what people doing over there. And I must have been quite intensely into it. And I went to sleep, and I woke up, and I sort of looked up, and there was like a face forming that was sort of drawn. It was like, you know, if you're drawing a face gradually, it was coming together, you know. And the whole thing was like suddenly appearing, like as if somebody was drawing it. And I thought, oh, this is a bit weird. And I didn't really want to look anymore. And I talk about it in the book. And I was a bit frightened, and I sort of turned and looked the other way. I didn't want to see anymore. And so I didn't sleep very well. But when I woke up when I got up the next day, I was totally energized. I wasn't tired or. But it happened to me again. And I was always hoping, oh, please let it happen again. I'll go with it this time.
That's interesting. You know, we talked about one time when my last time I had you on the show, where you in the band, you had actually stopped at a crop circle during a tour.
Oh, yes.
So that was pretty interesting that you'd actually, I mean, I imagine back in the 60s, there wasn't any signs that said, hey, here's the crop circle, come check it out. I mean, you must have seen it on the road and looked into it. I'm just curious. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a bit later. I think it was in the 90s. It was when crops, you know, there were more, there was more interest, national interest in crop circles. And I happened to be passing through Glastonbury, and there was a lecture on by some scientist, you know, alternative scientist. He was talking about it, and he told us, we were actually going back to London, and he told us about a new crop circle that he'd found out about, which was on the way. So we had a look at it. He told us exactly where it was.
Yeah, it's they're pretty popular in England. I know that. So there's a ton over there. I know they're always popping up. So your interest in the paranormal in the world, you know, in the Yardbirds, of course, Jimmy Page, you know, famously is, you know, involved in the occult, Aleister Crowley's place, yeah, what have you. How much of that was an influence for you, or how much did you look at that and think, wow, that's fascinating to me?
Well, yeah, that's in the book as well. But we had a different thing going to him in a way. Keith and I had our own little stuff going. And actually, when he was in the band, he never really spoke about it. He kept it very much to himself. But now and then he would talk about something a bit strange. But he never went into Aleister Crowley or into black magic or anything like that.
So as far as the music, you know, you mentioned your song talking about reincarnation. How much, because you were at the precipice of psychedelic rock. I mean, you were right there at the beginning of it all. So you, going deeper into the mind with topics, I mean, was that something that, as far as the band was concerned, was a topic that you had to touch upon? Or was that just a topic that was just a natural fit for you guys?
Well, we were interested in all that sort of thing. I mean, anything that was a bit odd, or anything that was a bit strange, you know, we liked it all. And Keith was very much into all that. You know, he liked to go and lie on a gravestone and things like that. Quite funny. It was a sort of natural for us. And something like Still I'm Sad was nice, because people would say, oh, it reminds me of being, you know, in a in a beautiful, you know, monastery or somewhere really peaceful, and it took your mind somewhere very pleasant.
So what do you, as far as today goes, you know, this world is pretty crazy as we look outside of it. For you, how are you handling all this right now? You know, as far as like where you're at in your career, you know, life is here. You're pondering life right now. You're looking at the other side. You've always looked at the other side. Where do you see yourself now as far as compared to maybe 10, 15 years ago? Has it changed that radically for you?
Well, it was a big blow with my wife, because we were very close. We did a lot of things. We actually came to France together. It was like a decision we made together. And so now I'm a bit slightly at a loss, but I'm having to work quite hard at being in a very positive state, and doing meditations and thinking positively about things, and not really getting involved in all that new stuff, you know, all the virus stuff and all that. I just don't, I mean, I know what's going on, but I don't really think about it too much.
It's hard to stay focused on ourselves, you know, and I'm in the same boat as you. I'm really not watching the news. I have my own daily affirmations of positivity that I wake up to, and, you know, and I think through my head as well. And I think that's important, you know, as far as people here on this planet and on this earth, is how much we're not focusing in on our own positivity, but we're so scared of what's outside of the world that we can't control. But, you know, if we worked on ourselves, you've traveled the world, you've seen people all over this planet. So, you know, where are you with other people as far as, where do you think the world is, the planet is, as far as catching up to the reality of life on this planet?
It depends how you think, in a way. I mean, you can get dragged down, but you have to be, as you say, you have to be very positive to the affirmation. You work on yourself and connect, and you actually do. I actually do meet some very interesting people and some very good people, and I'm also led. You know, I believe my wife is with me now, and she knows a lot more than me what's going on, because she's in that situation. So, you know, and she's able to see the future and things like that. Because little things like that have happened to me. You know, she said, "Oh, don't do that or do this." And little foretold things have happened, which have been interesting.
Yeah, you are in tune. You are in tune with her to receive these messages.
Well, yeah, but I think being in tune is quite a big, you know, it could be quite a big thing. You know, you could be in tune with a lot of positive force. You know, there's obviously a lot of positive force around as well, you know.
It's for everyone, you know. I mean, yeah. That's the thing, is that we're so, like you said, scared, and you know, we're worried about other things we can't control. It prevents us from really opening ourselves up to what's really out there and the possibilities of the positive energy that is out there that's waiting for us.
Yes, and it's the ego, it really, isn't it? You know, when we're thinking about our fears, or what we're going to do, as long as we try and think about ourselves, that's where things get tricky. You know, if we think more about others, and you know, we send good energy out to people and think positive, it's all a part of a whole thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, playing music is one of the strongest ways to communicate positivity. As far as I'm,
right? Yeah.
And your music, The Yardbirds, I mean, I listen to it. It's very upbeat. It's very good. It's fun to listen to. I mean, it's in a way it is positive, you know, no matter what you're talking about, in a sense, it's the music and the beat, the drive kind of really, you know, motivates you.
Yeah, and it still stands up for some reason. It always sounds fun, and then, you know, we're not trying to get anything over. I don't know. A couple of people sent me the Eric Clapton thing, his latest thing, and I thought, it's very well done, but it's not really for me, you know.
You talk about the newer in today's world. There's a TV show called Ted Lasso that's very big, and your song "Over Under Sideways Down" is being featured on it. So I mean, your music is, you know, it's always going to be around for us, which is the wonderful thing about it.
What is that, a show, a TV show?
Yeah, it's a TV show. It's on one of the paid cable channels you got to pay for. I was looking up there, so they're spinning that song. I don't know if I'm breaking the news to you right now. So,
well, that's good to know.
Yeah, no, it's just a testament to what you provided for the world. You know, it's
well, that's nice, and it's always very bright and upbeat, isn't it? That, you know, it's good fun.
Yeah, right. No, it's a fun song. We talk about, you know, on this show, we'll spin the topic just a little bit here. To aliens and UFOs. How does that equate for you with all this spirituality that you're involved in now?
It sort of still comes into it. I think it's still, I was always very interested in all that. You know, we were always into that. And, all those old books like Chariots of the Gods, do you remember that? And all that. All that stuff and everything about Atlantis and all that, you know, we used to read all that stuff. And I'm sure there's all sorts of aliens around.
do you think Atlantis existed? As far as our human history, I'm not talking country history, I'm talking about human history on this planet. There's so much we don't know. So much in the past. I mean, that was something you want to, you know, explore a little more, real history.
I've read some books. There's a lot of these alternative science people, like Greg Braden. Have you heard of him?
It sounds familiar.
Yeah, and Bruce Lipton, people like him. And Greg Braden talks about, you know, the history of the world is going back thousands and thousands of years, you know, in different civilizations, that, you know, not just what we learn at school. It's not like 2,000 years to Jesus Christ or whatever. It's a long way back. And there's been many, many changes and many, many cultures that were, you know, peace-loving, and They weren't warring with each other, and they were different. And it's much bigger than we know, as you said.
And I don't know if the regular person can handle that kind of news. You know, that kind of information of like. Yeah. By the way, this isn't the first time human beings have been on this planet. This isn't the first time, you know. We go back, ancient, eons and eons, and how many types of, people inhabited this planet. Sure. I mean, it's been recycled so many times. There's tons of theories of humans as well, as far as evolving on this planet. One thing that stands out to me is this one lecture from a scientist named Lloyd Pye, who wrote a book called Everything You Know Is Wrong.
Right.
So,
yeah.
So check this out. So the theory is that when you have all the cavemen and the Neanderthal type of bodies and the skeletons, all of a sudden you have the human skeleton. So from there's like a gap, you know, that whole missing link thing that we've always talked about, that missing link. Still nothing's been found. And there's like should be thousands of years of evolvement between, you know, this style of human being versus this style of human being. So to me, that fascinates me to think that, you know, all of a sudden we're kind of like not standing up tall. Our heads are huge. Our jaws are huge. And then all of a sudden humans are like me and you. And
yes.
And the idea is that the humans were DNA'd from primates.
Yes.
So that's the philosophy on that end. I was curious on your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. That's all the stuff that Greg Braden talks about as well. you know, the guy on the origin of Darwin, you know, Darwin's origin of species, it's all, you know, it's all out the window, really. You know, it's not relevant.
Right. Well, I think a lot of the things, the more we learn, the more we're going to look back and go, I don't think that was right back then. I don't think they told us what was right.
But I mean, I don't know where this virus thing fits in. You know, it's very odd, isn't it? It's never happened before, is it? Not really in our lifetime. You know, all the virus thing going on?
Yeah, you know, when they said 100 years ago it happened, you know, and, you know, there's been recorded histories of viruses and what have you. You know, it's nothing we can control. It happens. It's out there. It's if it's, you know, people think it's real. If people don't think it's real, it doesn't matter. People are getting sick and people are dying. I mean, that's just the fact of what we're seeing from what it is. Now, whether it's really contagious, whether you really need to wear a mask, that's depending on the scientists of what they're recommending. That's fine. I don't really care, to be honest with you. I'm like, if that's what needs to be done, I'll do it. We'll all just get over with it. If we all just took our medicine, we would have been done with this, you know, a year ago, probably. So what amazes me about the whole virus thing is really it's the human reaction to it. It's the human reaction to not wanting to participate in the overall health of the planet. And some people want to not do that. But for no reason, in my mind, it's a strange flex in my mind to go against this when all you have to do is wear a mask. But that's me.
But well, I know, and there's a big movement that thinks, you know, we're all getting taken over, or there's some sort of weird thing going on, you know, and it's a bit fear based. It's all fear based, I think.
And here you are. You've you're living the summer of love, and now here we are in 2020, and it couldn't be more the opposite than that right now. So you've experienced it. You lived through it. I mean, what's that dichotomy of the two?
Well, I think it's still relevant. I think that's all, you know, the summer of love is still relevant. It's, you know, why not be positive and loving? And, you know, I saw something the other day, and they were saying, cancer is just about, it's a bit like if we stop wars and things, then we stop cancer. You know, we stop people thinking horrible thoughts on each other.
You know, yeah. that's what it is. I mean, it's really your energy and your vibration you send out. If you're always negative and you're constantly depressed and what have you, you're always going to bring that on to you. So it's not and that's the power that we have that I think we need to be taught. You know, it needs to be learned.
Yeah.
You know, to tap into that energy, that vibration. And I think it's tougher when you get older, of course. You know, when you're not really, accomplishing your dreams and, you know, you got bills to pay and, you know, life's rough. So you're focused on other things as opposed to what, you know, you should be focused on, which is your own happiness and your own positivity. Because that, like you say, take care of that. It should multiply.
Yes.
You know,
it's all about trust and, you know, trust and compassion and all those things, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, for I'm 51. I'm getting on as well. So the reality of my death is, you know, there. It's hit home a lot sooner with my father passing a couple of years ago, my aunt a couple of years prior to that. So the reality of life hit me really hard. And so my perspective on my outlook has changed twofold. You know, I've done a lot more things for myself, knowing that my future, what it could look like if I don't do things like take care of my health, take care of my you know, my body and what have you, because you know that's not far away now.
Yeah, no, it's important, isn't it?
Yeah,
all that stuff. Yeah, that's good. But you look pretty good shape.
Yeah, well, I'm not, I've never been married. I have no kids, so I think I'm gonna. I'll use that as my excuse.
Yeah, and it sounds like a very interesting program. I mean, I remember before, and John, and he said, "Oh, there's a guy got, you know, about this paranormal type of show," and it's great. You know, what a great thing to do.
Oh well, thank you. Yeah, I was a regular DJ on a radio station in Phoenix, Arizona. I was on Monday through Friday for 3 hours a day, and I had a lot of time to fill. So I decided to use 1 hour and talk about aliens, because this was 2015 and Ancient Aliens on TV was a big show. And I thought I could bring that to the radio and encompass rock music that is influenced by aliens or the paranormal, songs that are, you know, maybe written about those type of topics. And interview people like yourself who have had experiences or who are interested in this type of field. And John's been amazing. I mean, he's been really, I can't say enough about some of the people he's connected me with, like you're like doing. It's,
I think he's going to send you the book.
Yes, I hope. Yes, I'd love to read it. I can't wait.
I think you'll enjoy it. There's a lot, in there that you'd like.
Yeah, I'm really curious on some of the stuff you've you know, as far as the synopsis that I've read, you know, your touring days, your basically your life in general, your journey, and some of the things you've done, your pilgrimage to India, China. Yeah, yeah. You talked about Buddhism in the Himalayas. You know, wartime bomb sites. I mean, that for you to write that in the synopsis, I'm curious on that. Was wartime bomb sites something that impacted you a lot? Was that a heavy thing for you?
Well, we were just kids and we didn't really realize that how awful that was for people. You know, we were just used to playing on the bomb sites, and we're playing old wrecks and ruins, and it was all good fun. And but then I remember talking to someone. They said, "Oh, the just 200 yards on the next block from where I lived, there was a pub, and it got bombed one Saturday night, and it was full of people, and it was just completely destroyed." And I only remembered it because I used to play down in the basement. You know, we used to play ball against the wall, you know, and all that stuff, and. For us, they were just playgrounds, but you know, must have been, when you think of a whole block's been knocked out, you know, by bombs in the war, that was pretty awful, really, wasn't it?
I can't imagine it. Obviously, I mean,
when I had a session with the medium, she picked up my mother actually, who's on the other side. And she could, the medium could hear the bomb sirens going.
Mm.
She
wow.
said, "I could hear the sirens going."
That's crazy. So that makes you feel the energy was captured at that time.
Yeah.
And that's the energy that she picked up, was the moment of those bombs hitting. That's
Well, you can imagine what that did to you, hearing that siren. Sure. Told you full of fear, you know.
Traumatizing. Yeah, right. I just, it's just sad that we as humans can do that to each other. It's just,
I know, dreadful, isn't it?
It is. I mean, it's the two different humans. You have I think it's your type A's and your type B's. You know, highly aggressive people versus your laid back people, you know, and the laid back people need a win as far as I'm concerned.
Yes. And there's these poor people trying to escape from Afghanistan, and they get like bombed on the way out, you know. It's terrible.
For what reason? There's just, I mean, you can't leave our world because we're gonna kill you anyway if you stay. I mean, it's like
what's the point of that?
There's no point.
Terrible.
Like I said, you know, when I, you know, we should have been progressing so much. So these last 30, 40 years, 50 years, you know, we've been, but we haven't been. We haven't been progressing as a humanity overall. There's still pockets of BS everywhere that still need to be resolved before we can, you know, move together, I think, as a whole. That's the hippie in me talking, you know.
Yeah.
I have that in me. I wish it was more prevalent in people, and I wish they were a little bit more aware of it. Those medium chants are very fascinating. Do you get addicted to them at all? Do you like feel like you want to keep doing them like once a week or more, or can you do them on your own?
Well, I do. No, I have to be a bit careful. I don't want to overdo it, but I've seen about three or four different mediums now, but it's been very similar. They've said very similar things, so it does seem to be true. They haven't said anything different from each other. So it's all very common when they talk about Elizabeth. It's all very clear.
Yeah. What goes on in your mind when medium after medium keeps coming up with the same thing? You're like, this is real. I mean, no other way around it.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing, isn't it? But you just think, well, she's there, and well, she's all around, but I just can't see her.
You can feel her though.
Yes, I could feel her. I could feel her coming and going. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, do you feel like maybe like warm breezes come through, or do you feel kind of like maybe the smell of her scent?
What I get, and somebody did tell me this, sometimes I can feel it in my hair, like somebody's touching my hair.
Oh, wow, okay.
You know, my head, top of my head, I can feel that. And somebody did tell me that a medium did say, oh, she does touch your top of the back of your hair.
And it doesn't scare you, right?
No, it's very pleasant. It's very, because she had a very reassuring thing about her that I found very positive. She was, because I tend to be, you know, like slightly depressive in nature, though I try and be upbeat, but my nature is like depressive, but she would always lift me up all the time, and they told me that as well, that she would lift you up, and I always found her very reassuring. So it's very reassuring when she touches my hair.
And maybe when you see things, you're like, it might be a sign when you see something that she's placed there just to make you happier or something to make you smile.
Oh, yes, I've seen things. I've seen feathers on the floor, you know, and I've seen flowers, little flowers on the floor and things like that.
I think it's cool that you're zoned in on that, you know, that
sweet.
It is. I mean, because I think everyone's getting these signs, and I think a lot of people don't pick up on them, you know, or they're I don't think a lot of people are opened up to seeing these, because it's a different type of magic to a certain degree of what they're used to.
Well, exactly, because you have to be open, you have to be, you know, watching for them.
You're right, and I feel like I had one experience where I felt on my shoulder, I felt an actual hand grab my shoulder. I wasn't scared, but I looked and there was nobody there, but it was like a really interesting feeling, but it was a hand on my shoulder. I know it. But, I mean, I don't really get, that was, you know, maybe 10 years ago, but, you know, I don't get them very often. So I'm trying to like be more open to those kind of experiences.
Was it a reassurance thing or?
I don't, you know, I wasn't in the best situation in my life. I was, you know, in a house with a few other guys. We were sharing a house, and but we were having a good time, and I was just sitting there with a group of other people, and just on my shoulder, that's where it was. But it was an assurance kind of feeling to it, like it was a strong like someone took your shoulder and like squeezed it a little bit, and so it wasn't, like I said, I wasn't scared, and it felt comfortable. I just was like, who's doing that, you know? I was like, who's touching my shoulder? Nobody was there. It was just a bizarre, like, whoa. you know, it's just that's, I don't get very many of those, but you know, I'm very open to it. If I'm, you know, I'll try to figure out what it is.
Yes. And I think the more we open up, the more those things tend to happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
We open up that.
But it opens up both ways. Now, if you're negative, you're going to open up a bad way to get some energy. But if you're positive and open up.
Yes.
You'll have more pleasant experience.
I find there are two sides. You know, there's one side that, I don't believe that. You know, I don't believe she's doing that. You know, and then I can go over and believe it all, and be totally fine with it.
Right.
No, there's two sides in our head.
Yeah, and that's right. And then well, you say the ego is one of them too. You got to worry about that with the thoughts the ego brings out. Kind of ruin your day, or they want to. And I watch videos. I'm like, you know, guys talking about when you get a bad thought, to say, I release you, or, you know, get out of here, or whatever it is, you know. This is a lot of challenges for a lot of challenges to be alive, Jim.
Yeah, it certainly is. And it seems like when everyone does pass over, it's a very pleasant experience. I mean, there's only good there. There's nothing bad. There's no judgment or anything like that. There's no one saying, oh, you've done wrong. You know, you've done wrong. You've got to go in prison or something. You know what I mean? There's no judge. There's nothing bad about it.
Yeah.
It's just very loving and very, very, very good.
And that makes you wonder why here on Earth we're talking about, you know, you're going to go to hell and bad things are going to happen to you.
Yeah, right? No.
I mean, there might be, like, for really, really bad people, a certain level of afterlife. I don't know, but you'd kind of hope so to a certain degree. But, you know, our vessels inside our human bodies are what will continue on. Now, as far as what, like when we pass on, chances are I'm not going to be Kevin Gassman looking back on my life going this, but I'll be more of a soul looking back on the experiences that we've had, knowing that's who I played, in a sense. I mean, that's through all the conversations that I've had in the past 6-7 years on this kind of topic, that comes up a lot too, is that we're souls occupying this body to experience the universe. It's the universe experiencing itself. And then when we're done, we review our experience, kind of thing. That's one theory. So, but it could be a lot of things. I mean, on different planes and different dimensions, I could be Kevin Gassman all the time, you know, and you're Jim McCarty all the time. And that's one world of our, you know, one piece of the puzzle, I guess, you know, it's always going.
Well, there seems no end to it. You know, you could be Kevin Gassman, but you could be somewhere else at the same time.
Right.
You know, there seems to be no limit.
Right, right. And I mean, past lives too, you talk about your song about reincarnation. I'm gonna get the title. Happening 10 years time ago, which is a great song, by the way. It's just a really cool song. You know, the reincarnation, coming back to as a different life, but also your past lives. Where I talked to a medium a little while ago, well, I say a long time ago, who told me that my past life, I was a female entertainer in the 30s.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That's right.
And I was a big star, and I think it was in Hollywood. Maybe that's why I'm in LA now. I don't know. But, you know, have you ever gone back to past lives? Has anybody ever told you about your past lives?
Well, I've done a bit. I've recently come across it. A couple of people that do regression.
Right. Okay.
There's a guy called Rob Schwartz who's done some interesting books about past lives, and your Soul's Plan was one of his books, and he can regress you, and you just remember, you know, you tend to remember things. But I remembered a couple. A couple of things.
Do you want to share one of them, or
I well, Well, they weren't particularly strong. I think I remember being with my wife. You know, my wife had just passed, and we were different because I was the one that was dying, and she was caring for me. So, you know, we swapped.
Oh wow.
We swapped our roles.
Hmm.
And Rob Schwartz does say, oh, you can make a contract with your partner that before you're born that knows what's going to happen. And he said, oh, it's very common that one of the partners dies of cancer. It's quite a common thing. And the other one is a carer, which happened. You know, this happened. I was caring for my wife and she died of cancer. He was saying that's very common. You can make that agreement before you're born.
So you know
what's coming on a level.
Well, think about that now. Down the road, you'd be like, all right, well, this time I'm going to do this for you and you're going to do this for me, you know, and just kind of have, you know, that kind of rotation of, all right, I'll do this. I believe in the contract thing. I believe that there are, like, everybody we meet in life is meant to be. So whether me and you have had a contract of some sort in the past, you know, say, all right, well, let's meet up somewhere down the road where we'll talk about this is unknown, but I mean, supposedly everyone you know in your life has been contracted in your pre-life, in a sense. So everyone already knows their role. And that's a fascinating concept.
Well, the interesting thing is that with that, you're not a victim. You're not a victim anymore. You've actually agreed, you know, you've agreed on this beforehand. So you can't say, oh, well, I'm a victim to life. You know what I mean?
No, that's a great point. That's an excellent point, actually, to think about that. Because now you're looking back, say, well, because the reason why I went through this problem is because that was the lesson I'm supposed to learn. You know, so, you know, if you kind of idea it in that perspective, I think that would be very beneficial for our personal growth. I can go all day with this kind of conversation, Jim. It's fascinating. And you put it in the book, She Walks in Beauty, My Quest for the Bigger Picture by Jim McCarty. And Dave Thompson helped you write that as well. So, I mean, it seems fascinating. I'm looking forward to reading it for sure. Besides exploring your experiences in the book, are there life lessons you're leaving for people?
I don't know. It's that deep. I think it's a really observations, you know, really what I've observed through my life and the sort of, you know, the journey, as you said, and it's all very sort of all linked as you go along. And
so when you look back, I mean, you're so accomplished, Hall of Fame drummer, the Yardbirds. I mean, the band that was, I mean, just so influential to the world in a sense. What do you look back on as far as your biggest accomplishment for you as far as your life goes? What makes you go, man, I'm so glad, you know, this happened for myself? And
well, I think the greatest thing was that I managed to, I didn't make millions by playing, you know. We broke up sort of a bit too early for all that, you know. But I did manage to stay in music, and I've always loved it. And, you know, I still am now. I still love being involved in music, you know, writing and singing as well as drumming. So I loved it, and I'm very grateful to that.
Are you still writing music? How much of your new life experiences are going to be in the words of your new songs?
Yeah, definitely. That's a lot of creative input there.
Yeah, that means a wealth of stuff to dive into for sure. I mean,
a lot.
There's a ton.
A lot of inspiration.
Yeah, I can't thank you so much. I can't thank you enough for your time today. It's almost been an hour, so I don't want to keep you much too longer. I do appreciate your time. I appreciate you, and I want to thank you for the music you've provided for us. I played today still. I still love it. So thank you for that. And thank
all
you
right, Kevin. It was a very nice conversation.
Well, I appreciate that. And you take care.
Very good.
And maybe we'll,
yep. And if John doesn't send you one, I'll send you one, and we'll make sure you get one.
Yes, I appreciate that. I look forward to it. Maybe we'll talk again after that. I get it. I can dive deeper into the book with you. Thanks, Jim. Thank you so much.
All right.
Have a great night. All right. I want to thank Jim McCarty for his time and for sharing his stories. The book is titled She Walks in Beauty, My Quest for the Bigger Picture. And a very eye-opening conversation for me as well. I don't know about you, but it did make me have a new perspective on certain things now. So it was helpful in that way. So I want to thank you guys for tuning in. I really do appreciate your time. For listening in to what we talk about here on the Mothership Radio Show. You can find past episodes at themothershipradioshow.com. We're also on Spotify, Google, Apple, and iTunes, and also on anchor.fm, where the show is anchored. Yeah, that's where the show kind of comes from. It sprouts from there, then it goes to all these other little entities. All right, that's how that works. I won't get into it too much. So until next time, my name is Kevin Gassman, reminding you to stay strange and unusual.
Thank you, and keep watching the sky.
How about a positive LSD story? Wouldn't that be newsworthy just once? To base your decision on information rather than scare tactics and superstitions and lies? I think it would be newsworthy. Today, a young man on acid realized that all matter is merely energy condensed to a slow vibration, that we are all one consciousness experiencing itself subjectively. There is no such thing as death. Life is only a dream, and we're the imagination of ourselves.
Here's On with the Wood.
I'll be back.